Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
This is Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
And I am telling you, you're the best man I'll ever know. That's no way I can ever go. No, no, that's no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free.
Diamond Buster!
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Lions don't hang out with hyenas. They don't. Lions hang out with lions. Because a lion only hangs out with other lions, then the standard for a lion is being a lion. The issue with us and success sometimes is that we don't intentionally hang around people who are what we want to be. We just don't do it. If we can understand the importance of the proximity to excellence, well, then the standard becomes excellent. Oftentimes, we get advice from a friend or a family member or somebody that we know who never even been in the space that we want to go. This is about the power of proximity. Most of us don't understand the importance of closing the gap to excellence. Like, we got to get closer to excellence. When you're around excellence, then you think excellent and you produce excellence in everything that you do. The expectation for you is excellent. Sometimes we listen to people who want us to win, but not more than they win themselves. So you get advice from people about being successful, but the undertone of it is jealousy and envy. That's not the direction that we need to go. Close the gap to excellence, hang out with lions. Surround yourself with people who have identity traits that you want to work towards. Excellence is always a proximity issue. Get around it.
Buy your favorite scented candles at Divine Energy Luxury Candles. I'm Kerry Hines. Divine Energy Luxury Candles create an unmatchable ambiance and can immediately enhance your mood. They offer an array of original scents made with coconut soy, hand-poured love. Fill your home and soothe your senses today. Order from DivineEnergyCandles.com.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
All right, Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, and our very, very special guest today, Miss Katrina Jones. I'm Kerry Hines. Listen, I want to get on into all of the talk about the recent trip to New York for our very special Live on Stage event. But today I really wanted to kind of talk, because we've got to start with you, Nicole Marie, on this. It was a huge, huge thing to come all the way from Water Valley. You flew all the way in. I think you guys flew out of Memphis.
Yes, we flew out of Memphis.
Right? And
we
so
did.
To me, that was a big deal to fly all the way into the East Coast into one of the New York City airports. And
it
Katrina
was.
Jones, you came all the way from Paris, Texas. And I thought that that was incredible as well. So let's break it on down for everybody. And Michael Hopkins, we are on. You are getting a real good front row seat review of the incredible trip to New York to participate in the recent Live on Stage event. So Michael, I can't wait to find out what your thoughts are as well when you hear their incredible tale. So let's talk a little bit. Nicole Marie, yes, let's lead in with you, my co-host on the show. What would you like folks to know about your trip coming all the way from Water Valley, Mississippi?
Well, first I'd say the trip, just flying out of Memphis. We had a short layover in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then we flew into the Newark airport.
And when you
once
say
we arrived,
whom are you talking about?
My husband and myself. My husband Luther
okay.
and myself.
Yes. Luther, okay.
Yes.
All right.
And we flew into the Newark airport, but all along I knew that Katrina, she was flying from Texas, so we were messaging each other, you know, checking on each other, seeing where everybody was, and because we were supposed to arrive around the same time, not at the same airport,
so this is all
but arrive
same
in New
day.
York. Yes,
exactly.
This was the same day, yes. So we
wow.
arrived at the Newark airport, and Luther and I, we took the train from the airport into New York City, into Penn Station. And, I mean, it was exciting because that
yeah.
was both of our first time in New York City. I had flown in through the airport before but hadn't been on the streets of New York City. So it was very exciting.
So it was your first time stepping foot on cement, in the cement jungle, we call it.
Oh, yes. Cement jungle.
Yeah, yes. That's what we call it. Okay. So now, go ahead. What were you going to ask?
So I was going to say we arrived in Penn Station, and because we hadn't been on the subway before or we didn't know exactly what to do, we took a taxi to our hotel. So we were staying in the financial district, and my sister Katrina, she was also staying at the same hotel with us. So we arrived at the hotel, got settled in at the hotel, and then we started messaging again, seeing, you know, who was there, and, you know, if she had arrived, if I had arrived, so that we could make contact that evening.
Yes, now this was a weekend day, so I think it was a Saturday.
Yes, this was Saturday. We both flew in on Saturday.
Exactly, and so what happened is because our financial district, I'm Carrie Hines, and I live here in the New York area. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, which is one of the boroughs, one of the big boroughs here, and the event itself was taking place on Monday, the borough
right.
of Manhattan. So that was really super exciting. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But even before we left home, Carrie, let me just say, I had done my research, and I had a list of things that we wanted to see and that we wanted to do. So I was ready. So once we got to New York, I was ready to go.
Well, that I believe, and I remember once you got here. yes, indeed. And so, and I, of course, I'm in New York. Now, I do not have a car because in my area, you don't have to have a car.
Right.
Okay. Yes, you don't have to have a car because you can just kind of, you know, make way on the subways, you guys are finding out. And so I was super excited. Now, again, you, Nicole Marie, you flew from Memphis to Newark Airport. And our colleague, Miss Katrina Jones, who came all the way from Paris, Texas. And so that was quite a distance to fly out. Now, Katrina, have you been to New York before?
No, that was my very first time ever coming to New York, first time flying, everything. So that was my very first experience.
You've checked a lot of first-time boxes. You said it was your first time coming to New York. It was your first time getting a chance to come out here and meet Nicole Marie as well. First time you get a chance to meet Kara Hine. So we had quite a few boxes you were checking off. So now what was your experience that day from your perspective? You came into New York. You flew out of which airport? You flew out of Houston, Texas.
I flew out of the Dallas Love Field, out of Dallas,
Texas. Oh, that's Dallas. That's right.
Yeah, so I had to. Yeah. So I stayed in Dallas that night and went to the airport that morning. My first layover was over in St. Louis, Missouri. Which I've been to St. Louis before, but that's because I drove, so there wasn't no new area to me. It's just different. I was on a plane this time.
Yeah.
And then checking in with Miss Nicole, seeing where they were, and she was telling me where they were, and then, like, get back on the plane to come back. And the only thing that I was, like, so excited to see was the clouds, like being up in the clouds and taking a picture.
Wow, okay.
I woke up the whole flight.
This was your first time
on
an airplane, correct?
Yes, everything.
Oh, wow.
Everything was my first everything. Meeting Carrie, meeting Nicole, being on the plane, everything.
That's wonderful.
So I was basically like a little kid in a candy store. So.
I'm
That's
so
great.
Happy to hear that. Yes, and see, and I remember now because I don't know why I thought you went out of Houston, but yeah, you're right. And you were not at the DFW airport. You were out of the DAL airport. So
I went to LaGuardia.
Yes. Yeah, right. You came into LaGuardia here on the East Coast in New York. So that was really, really good. So I got it now. And what was ironic is that you both were, like Nicole Marie said, you both were arriving about the same time, literally.
Right.
And we were already busy. That weekend was, I call it, it was probably the busiest weekend I've had in 20 years. that's the weekend that,
oh
yes, that you guys flew into New York for the Hair Radio show live on stage that was happening at the Gene Frankel Theater in Manhattan. And so you guys came in for that, but that was the same weekend that the IBS, the International Beauty Show in Manhattan, was taking place. We had so many folks from out of town. Everybody was calling and arriving and getting in, and it was just chaotic. But
so
before we got to all of that, we kind of met up that evening. So you guys, what I love about this is that you guys were staying at a hotel in Manhattan. Again, I'm about 45 minutes to an hour away over in Brooklyn. And you guys, I had to come out. We decided to meet up. And I think we got together probably about 8 or so. So I knew it was going to be a late night.
Right.
I think we didn't even meet up till about 8 or 9 o'clock or something. And and so we had a chance to get to your hotel. I made it over to the hotel and did not know who I was going to see or what. And let me tell you, I was so honored to meet Mr. Luther, to get a chance to really talk to Nicole Marie, and, of course, to Miss Katrina. So it was just exciting.
It was wonderful.
The little tiny hotel, It was outstanding. So I had a great time. But my favorite time was going to the restaurant. So, Katrina, I wanted to ask you about that. How did you feel about really meeting everybody? What was your impression of everybody? And what did you guys do? So I'll ask you, you know, how was that? How did you feel about that? So talk to us about that, Katrina. Oh, I think we might have lost Miss Katrina Jones. Katrina Jones, are you there? Nicole Marie, while Katrina, yes. Katrina, are you there? Okay, what I'm just trying to figure out, what were your thoughts once you came into the city, you met Nicole Marie, you met myself, you met Mr. Luther, what went through your mind? How did you feel once you got a chance to meet everybody? And did we measure up to what you imagined us to be? How was all that? Talk to us.
Well, with Miss Nicole, let me start out with her first. She is exactly who she is from start to finish, from the minute she opened her mouth till you see her in person. Her personality is just the same, ain't nothing changed. It's just together, like how phenomenal she is. And I'm not, and hands down with Carrie, you are exactly who you are from top to bottom, everything. But the more way I imagined you, wasn't exactly what I was wanting to see, who I thought you were in person.
Well, hold it.
But you
hold it.
Still,
I'm not going to let you just slide on by that one. What is
like, okay, wait a minute. Explain.
No.
Explain
what I'm saying. Explain is, I was picturing you totally different. Like, I always like upscale, not say uppity, you know, like how they say bougie, the type, the upscale, but you're basically down to earth. You basically like right there with us.
Oh, I'm basically. I'm not quite there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, it's just a simple fact the way you carry yourself, because you're so professional in the way you carry yourself and the way you talk.
Oh.
That's why I pictured you to be
like very uppity. Okay.
Yeah, until when I met you in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, Kerry, he's basically one of us, but I was putting you as in a whole different category, but you're actually down to earth.
Yeah.
And a very great person to be around.
That's very kind. Thank you. Yeah. I think I do get that that folks often think that because of how I talk. And they just assume that, you know, I just, as someone putting on airs and stuff like that, like a lot of folks do. But, no, I really do talk like this all the time.
Right.
This is who I am.
Wow.
I really do. Carrie
Hines.
I wish I did.
Carrie Hines.
But, yeah, this is really who I am. And you really do get just me as I am.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Interesting commentary. You surprised me with that one. I didn't expect that, Katrina Jones. I didn't realize that you might have thought I was, you know, had that kind of a personality. But no, I think I'm pretty down to earth. I had a great time. We all got together at dinner. So now hold it before we get there. So, Nicole Marie, did you think we would be different than we were?
I actually didn't. I guess it's because we have known each other for, goodness, what, a year and a half or so, and we have talked so much to each other, and I really didn't have a different expectation. Even though we hadn't seen each other in person, I didn't really have a different expectation. So it was so exciting that evening when you came to our hotel to meet us. Since we hadn't been on the subway and you taught us all of that, but just meeting at the hotel, and we came downstairs and I knew right away that was Kerry Hines.
Oh, look, it's so crazy. I had been running around and had no time at all. You know, I had no time because we were so busy. I was so busy. You know, so I had no time to really go, you know, and put any attention on myself so much. So I just looked crazy to me. But it was still a great time. Now, let me tell you,
I knew that was you.
You knew it was me.
I knew that was Katrina when she came downstairs. I knew it. I mean, it was, you know, everything that I expected. I didn't expect anybody to be any different. I didn't have a different picture of anybody, really. It's just,
and we really were
like we had known each other, which we have, but actually seeing each other in person, it was like, you know, we just finally met each other, but we already knew each other,
and we were comfortable with each other's personality because we do know each other, so we know. Yeah, it was very surreal.
It was like, okay. Yeah. Nice to see you in person. Okay, let's go. We were ready to hit the streets.
Oh, we hit the streets.
We did.
So, Michael Hopkins, I got to check in with Brother Michael. He's been listening to all of this. And for you guys who are just joining us, I'm Kerry Hines, and I'm on the line with our amazing colleagues in this business and on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Of course, Nicole Marie, who comes to us out of Water Valley, Mississippi. And Michael Hopkins, who is on the line, he's been quiet, from Spotsylvania, VA. And our very special guest today is Katrina Jones, who has been just an awesome producing colleague through our network. So we are so excited. We're chatting today about this incredible trip that both Nicole Marie and Katrina Jones from their respective states traveled to New York for the very first time. And that's what we're kind of looking at. And we're just matching up to see what we, you know, what was kind of going through our minds. And so, Michael, you've been listening. What are you thinking about? What goes through your mind now once you hear all of this that went down recently in New York?
Wow. You know, I really think that you guys had a fantastic time. That's what I keep thinking. And I keep my imagination point in time
it's so vivid now. I can just see you guys meeting each other and going up to Harlem and having a great time. I can just see it. I really could the whole time it was going on, you know, I could see it, and even now. And just like Nicole Marie said, the funny thing about it is that we've been knowing each other for so long till it's as if this was just another trip that we were taking with each other. It's not like we may not have physically seen each other, but we've been together with each other for such a long time.
Right.
And it's just it's such a beautiful thing when you think about it that way.
Exactly. It was like another layer was added to the journey. And that was true of everybody. It was just, and I have to tell you guys, it was just extraordinary. It really was. I love we had a chance to go out to dinner in Manhattan. And Nicole Marie, I do not know how you led the way. Am I right, Katrina Jones? Did you not lead the way?
Wow.
We were just walking all around Midtown Manhattan.
And I basically had to sprint to keep up with her.
You what? I don't think we did. I think poor Luther myself, we were on the caboose side. I'm still blown away. I really am. It was hilarious.
Well, I have to bring my cane and some oxygen.
Oh, yeah. Try and keep up with Miss Nicole. Yeah, Brother Michael, this is what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah,
I was so excited. I just naturally walk fast like that.
Yeah,
and
well, you
sit
right
time,
here.
Slow down.
Well,
I'm just,
well,
on you fit in right with New York then if that's your natural walk.
Well, that's why I said, Nicole Marie, for you guys out there who – New York is really what you imagine it to be when you see so many people walking and everybody's on the move, and you fit right on in. No one would ever have thought that you were not from New York, because you were on the move like a New Yorker.
Right.
And that's how New York goes. That's how we do it. You know, we're minding our business and we're on the move, getting whatever we got to get done. And you exemplify that none of us could keep up. it was like a long line behind Nicole Marie. We were walking.
But we made it, though. We got to where we were going.
No, we loved it, though. I tease you, but we loved it. We loved it. And I wouldn't have had it any other way.
It was such a great time.
Now, didn't Nicole Marie, did you have a list of where all the places you wanted to go to?
I did.
What
were
some of the
different places
on the list that you guys
actually,
I think you guys, I hung with Nicole Marie and Luther and Katrina, I think the first night.
That was Saturday night.
Yes.
That was all we went to Times Square. And then we went to eat at Junior's restaurant that night.
I think, didn't I join you guys for Junior's?
You did Saturday night. Yes.
You did Saturday night. You joined us with Junior's.
Junior's restaurant, for you guys who have not been to New York, is known for their cheesecakes. And they are also, they've got several, and I've been to the Junior's restaurant here in Brooklyn, New York, many times. I've never been to the one in Manhattan until I joined you guys. So that was really the first time in the theater district, I believe it was, Midtown. And I thought it was fantastic.
I love the atmosphere in Junior's restaurant. All the memorabilia on the walls, and
the food
is awesome.
Delicious too. Yeah,
they
definitely
give you plenty of food.
Yeah, I thought I was ordering just a little appetizer. I'm not even kidding. It was supposed to be I won't, because I had already eaten, because it was later in the night. So I'd already eaten before I left. And when I tell you, they gave me so much, I think I had some chicken tenders. It was like some kind of chicken tenders.
Right.
Thing.
And they were huge.
Let me tell you something. I must have eaten, and I ate on that the entire time. I think I even brought some home.
Yeah, because you couldn't
eat
all of that.
It was huge. It was a lot. And it literally was like a meal. It was heavy like a meal. So
right.
I was in shock. But it was delicious. So I'm giving 2 thumbs up to Juniors. They did a great
Definitely.
Job. Yeah.
Yes, except for my meal could have fed 3 people.
Oh no, you guys, y'all went in. You guys went in. All of you did, you know, so you guys had real platters. And I was just
so
blown
good.
Away. But it seemed really good. Everybody's dish looked beautiful to me. And the young lady filled the big old glass of what you would call me, and I told her, I said, that was the level of excitement I had. But it looked at it as being a good omen because that, like I told her, you know, I'm a former flight attendant and served people 30,000 feet in the air, and I remember spilling coffee on particularly on one fella in particular that was real bad.
Oh, wow.
So I... Yeah, hot coffee. You can imagine.
Wow.
Ooh.
Oh.
So
the airlines used to give us back in the day, they used to give us coupons to give to the passengers if we spilled something on them and stuff like that. So because it happens, the plane jerks real quick sometimes, or you lean over, it happens. So I definitely got it. But let me tell you something. It didn't dampen any aspect of my wonderful time connecting with you guys. I thought it just added to the momentous occasion. And it was fantastic to meet Mr. Luther as well. I thought that was just incredible.
He had a great time, and he enjoyed meeting you as well.
He's an awesome gentleman. And you guys make the best couple on the planet. So really good stuff.
Oh, thanks, Carrie.
Okay, yeah. And Katrina,
wow.
I have to say, Katrina said she didn't expect me to be who I was so much. But let me tell you, no, Katrina, I think I had kind of figured you to be similar, you know, to who you are. But I'm going to say, meeting you, you had so much energy and just full of life and all of that I hadn't imagined. So I thought that was incredible. And you needed that to keep up with you know who. With the
Cobra.
So you had it. You were right there in step. And,
he hung with us, and it was awesome.
Now, I still have to
ask you. I need my running shoes, too. Is that what you're saying, Gary?
Oh, absolutely, Hopkins. Absolutely.
I'll get those cortisone shots.
Well,
make sure my balcony dips and everything else are working.
Yeah, you'll be all right. But how about this? Do you guys remember, Katrina, do you remember the man on the subway car? We were on the 2 train.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? What do you recall about the fella who appeared to be homeless who was on the train?
Is it the older guy that was in the wheelchair?
Was he in a wheelchair? I think he was just sitting down.
He was sitting there, but his wheelchair was in front of him.
Oh, I didn't even remember that part.
Wow.
Nicole Marie, you and Mr. Luther probably didn't see that because I don't remember the wheelchair.
I don't remember seeing the wheelchair.
Yeah, it was
but
up
I know
against
he was just sitting on the bench.
Yeah, it was up,
it was
against,
up against the
wall.
Side. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. You have a good memory. That's a real good memory.
Wow.
I don't even remember it either.
This is adding a new dynamic to the story. I can't wait to hear this part now.
But now what, because see, that's the, and the reason I ask, because you guys were from out of town. And so it
right.
would be easy to think, oh, New York, I've seen all the bad, so I shouldn't be friendly or I shouldn't be nice. But this gentleman, and here, let me paint the picture for you guys just tuning in or what have you. You've got Nicole Marie and Mr. Luther sitting across from Katrina. And then there was like a few seats in between she and this stranger who was sitting there, an older gentleman. And I, when everybody sat down on the, because there were plenty of, there was space for me to sit in between Katrina and the gentleman. But I really didn't want to sit down. And quite frankly, because you guys know I sit down all the day, you know, all day long. So I relished standing up. And that wasn't just me saying that. I really enjoyed standing up as opposed to sitting all the free, you know, all the time. So anyway, the gentleman started talking. Well, first he offered me his seat. That was the thing that started the floodgate.
Right.
He offered me, you know, because he probably wanted me to feel comfortable in sitting next to him. But that wasn't, it didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't know that. I just didn't want to sit because I was enjoying
right.
standing. And so, but one conversation led to the other, and he told us about his life and about his daughter, and I just thought it was a unique story. And that doesn't seem to happen all that much where you get such friendly folks sharing, and he shared so
right.
much of his life. And I just thought it was fascinating. So, Katrina, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, it was great, wonderful. You know, I love sitting and talking to
yeah.
homeless people. Like, their stories is phenomenal to me. Because you'll never know what caused a person to get to where they are.
Right.
Right.
Now, and he had a story, but he was not somebody, I don't know how to explain it. It was as if
he wasn't sympathetic. He didn't want sympathy, like basically what
exactly.
he talked about. He wasn't reaching out for sympathy.
Exactly.
He was just basically just telling his story of what he went through. Into where he's at right now.
And he was very nice. He was very courteous.
Very
I thought
nice.
He was
yes.
very courteous. And it just, it's something that I don't think I'll ever forget.
Right.
So
very
present.
And I was so surprised.
The one
that we ran into.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what was that? Did you say you were surprised?
I was actually surprised just because up until that point, like most of the people, you know, like you said earlier, people are on the move, they're moving fast, and people aren't really into talking. They're just on the move, getting to where they need to go, minding their business. So like Katrina said, I'm a person that likes just talking to people, just small chit-chat, you know, you just speak and you just talk to people. Well, up until that point, nobody else was really doing that. You know, like you said, they're minding their business, doing what they do. And so I was just very surprised that, you know, once we were sat down and everything, that he actually just started talking and just
and
sharing
that was
so openly.
You guys pretty much got the town, basically.
Exactly.
That was
exactly.
our first time connecting.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was remarkable. And to me, I always say this, that that they're just little angels being placed around. And that's what
that's it
kind of reminded me of. It
right.
really
is. Everybody's story is important. And I
yeah,
just enjoyed listening to his story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very interesting, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. So I just want to say it was an incredible trip to New York, and you guys flew in. Now, what about your journeys back? Were they all uneventful? Did you, you know, did you have long wait overs? Were there any delays on the aircraft or the airplanes or the rides back? Nicole Marie, how did you guys make out?
We didn't have any delays. The weather was perfect. We had another layover from Newark to Charlotte, and it was a short delay. We didn't have to sit very long at all. And then we were right back into Memphis on time, and it was great. It was a great flight, both of them.
Awesome. Which airline did you guys take again?
American Airlines.
American, okay, something special in the air, wonderful. And now, Katrina, so how about you? Did you everything go as planned on your way back, because you went out of LaGuardia?
Oh, yes, everything was just fine, right on time, flight, and I didn't have any layovers. Like, I didn't have to stop nowhere. I've come straight from LaGuardia all the way straight to Dallas Love Field, and I flew Southwest, and yes, it was nice and warm. My only delay was my pickup from Dallas Love Field.
Oh, well, that's the work on. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, listen, guys, I just want to say, on behalf of all of New York, we appreciated your trip to New York City. And so this was just amazing. I enjoyed the convo. We just appreciate you guys, and we look forward to having back each of you right here in Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens. Next time we'll take you all around. So thank you so much,
great.
Nicole Marie.
Thank you.
Katrina Jones, you. Our very special guest, and of course, Michael Hopkins.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
All right, Keisha. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
Keisha
hey.
Keisha McAllister.
Hey.
All right. Hi, I added another
hi.
Hey for you.
to
the Hair Radio Morning Show, all the way from Fairfield, California, up north.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that today on the show. But
okay.
First, I have to tell you, Keisha McAllister, I'm raising my hand because today is all about products and being a product junkie. How to know,
right.
First of all, how to recognize if you are a product junkie and then what we can do about that. And so I'm here with an amazing licensed cosmetologist. You guys know that that Keisha she comes to us from all the way from the West Coast. So this is really great. I'm here in Brooklyn, New York, and just in case today's your first time tuning in. So, Keisha, let's start at the top of this, okay? First of all, a product junkie. Now, I believe, and you tell me, I believe a product junkie is someone who excessively has to have every hair product ever that they've ever come across in their life. And they probably still have these and never, ever toss them out, even after they've long, the efficacy has long expired. So, what can you tell us, about this? First, what is the correct way to consider a product junkie or to say or describe what a product junkie is or who a product junkie might be?
Well, I think, Carrie, that you were actually on the right road.
Awesome.
It's usually someone who has an excessive amount of hair products or beauty products or
right.
any type of products, anything that
sure.
is probably kept under two or three of your bathroom sinks and in your hallway closet, not to mention something your auntie or your grandmother had, probably some Ultra Sheen or some Bergamot grease
wow.
somewhere.
Okay.
But,
wow.
And those types of products, especially hair grease, those last a little while.
Oh,
but some of these people are just collecting over and over and over. And the bad part about it is that, you know, when it's a trend for something that is that works well, I think that's good. But for something that you're just spending your money on excessively that is not even helping your hair, then you need to take a look and pay attention to what's going on. Because if your hair, anything that you are purchasing,
right,
then it's time to, figure something out.
You know, I love what you said, Keisha, because it might be emblematic of something else that's going on. And, you know, I joke around about it and all this, but there may be something that, they say when folks are shopaholics and things, that it's filling a void. And it very much could be something in that way. But we're going to take a look. We're going to peel back the layers today, literally, on the show. Because first, I think it's having a healthy relationship with the hair products. And to me, that emanates out of having a good relationship with your hairstylist. So if you have a good relationship with your hairstylist, they are directing you in terms of what to do when it comes to the after the visit, after the shop care or at home type follow-up care or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it. And I think out of that, they will direct you what products and things that can, supplement whatever they have asked you to do. And I think that that's the healthy way to look at it. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that is a healthy way to look at it. But we have to consider that we are in the internet era. Everything is online. So they'll see the product before they actually meet with a professional.
Uh-huh.
You also have to consider that there are people looking for an answer for something that may be going wrong with their hair. They could be experiencing, like you said, traction alopecia or hair loss from something else. It could be a medical issue. It could be medication. It could be a number of things that are going on. And this is why it's important to have a beauty professional that you trust, and also have that professional who is, in turn, has a relationship with a doctor or someone who can help you, further.
Exactly. And there are trichologists, too. I mean, just to be fair to the trichologists who are out there and wish to specialize in hair loss and all that, I don't have a problem with that as long as there is no, I have a lot of some very specific instruction that I say when you're working with in tandem with the trichologist. And we'll talk about that and some of these other the hair practitioners and all that. We're going to have a whole show on that and how to break it down on and what you should be looking with and how far folks should go. So with these different hair professionals. And so we're going to talk about that. And, we're going to be getting to the nitty-gritty on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I can promise you that.
Definitely,
and so I'm excited.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this is why it's so important, Keisha, that we talk about these things. It really is. Now,
it really is.
Because, on the fun side, everybody, every time that we go to a hair show, every time we buy everybody's, I can barely make it from one table to the next. I am picking up products right and left. And I say for myself, but I also think for other people. I'm shopping for other people. And then I end up keeping it. So that's one of the big things. That's why I've acquired so many different products. And I just love to keep them. I love the bottles. I love the little jars. I love all of that. So I'm here for all of that. So that's what, so that's my thing. I'll have to get some, we'll have to call the hair psychologist in, okay, to kind of work us through that and work out that. So what are some of the things? Now, you being a professional, do you recognize, first of all, is it even possible for a professional hairstylist to be a product junkie?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Really?
Especially, oh, definitely. Especially if it's something that we've found that not only works, but it smells good. It doesn't leave a residue on the hair. I mean, you know,
yes.
It has all these important components.
Right.
And
right.
When we find it, we want to use it, and we want to use it over and over and over. And I have to admit that every now and then I have to go through my own inventory and get rid of things. You know, and especially tools. Yeah, it's so easy to have tools. At one point, I was working out of 3 salons, and I had tools for every salon, right? And I did, you know, hair shows and fashion shows and things like that. So I had a couple of kids.
You were coming or going.
You know what? I didn't. I just did it, and I'm paying for it now as I'm older. But, you know, I'm grateful that I had the time. So it's very easy as a stylist to be a product junkie. Very easy.
Wow.
I found that it's hard for me to get rid of color. Yeah. I have a lot of color still.
You know, everybody has their thing. That's the whole idea behind this. So I'm going to give everybody a little pass today on the show this morning. Because, yeah, I think everybody has their little thing with the product. And and that's okay. We don't tell anybody. You know, this is a secret. This is a secret out there. So
we try to keep it a secret, but
we try, right? We try.
Yeah, we try. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Now, how do you identify? Can you identify if there's a product junkie in your chair as a client?
Well, a lot of product junkies are usually the at-home stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And, right, so they're on, you know, these big online shopping, they're buying all this stuff, they're home, and I say fixing on, you know, they're home fixing on their hair. They're, you know, it could be burning it up, coloring it, you know, just doing all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And then they come and they need a repair. So what I've learned to do is ask them or tell them, hey, bring in what you're using at home.
Mm.
So it doesn't sound aggressive, but I really want to see what you got. And I need you to understand that you're probably working against the work that I'm doing in this chair.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, especially the clients who are home curling their hair, who never want to admit it, but they keep getting the products like heat treatment or heat protectant or moisturize, something that's going to protect their hair from curling it. But they still have the thing turned up to 500 degrees, so they burn the hell out of it anyway.
Exactly. And wow. So this is actually very important. You know, and you do have to, you know, and for you guys out there who are, you go visit the salon and you have a hairstylist, please pay attention to the product talk. And kind of dial it back on that. Make sure that you are getting the instruction from the professionals because it may, maybe today your hair, you know, it might look like it's all right, but, you know, just please, you know, because in time, this kind of thing can really, you know, become, you know, an issue. Raining on in, literally. So what are some of the companies? So because they have, I don't think it is the manufacturer, the company, the product company itself that lends itself to you getting addicted to the product, so to speak, or buying up everything they have. I don't know where that comes from. I really don't. A lot of it can be in the merchandising. I will also admit I love the beautiful bottles. I think I said it earlier. So that's what catches our eye when we see these beautiful products. And we think that it's beautiful inside too. I think generally, right?
people, right, you would think that it would be a good product.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think what you were saying earlier, and I think, I don't know if I heard it on this show today, but on terms of getting, you know, doing your research, doing the work, checking into it. So when you do connect with that particular product line, it's something that is going to work for you and work for your texture, and I think that's important.
Right. Yes, so, that is very important.
Right, just don't go overboard. Now, so that's really good. Now, what are some of the tips? Can we think of any tips that we can tell people? I think we have really shed some light on it today. I think that you got to really just, you know, just be mindful, folks. And I think that's the other thing. I think I'd love to hear from you out there.
Yes.
I'd also love to know that maybe in this, you know, at this time, you can actually go through your hidden stash or cache of these products, because we all know where, you know, we all have them where they are stashed, so to speak. And and I think we do need to clean them out, and I really do. I think it is, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year or the mid, you know, at the end of the year or spring cleaning, whatever it is, kind of connote a time and commit to that, and then kind of go through and allow yourself. I mean, you know, for the shopaholics, you know, if you're online all the time, maybe choose, you know, maybe one purchase a month, you know, or two or something like that. Just be mindful of it and limit the, you know, the spending with that. And it may not be so much about money, but just that you don't need all that necessarily.
Right, right, necessarily. And, you know, I try to encourage my clients to, until you have to turn that bottle over, don't buy anymore. Mm-hmm. Please don't. You know, it's, unless you see, like, it's the last two bottles in the store, grab those two. But if you're just excessively buying things that you really don't need and that are not performing the way they've promised, stop buying.
That's true.
Stop buying.
And that's a good point, too, because, you know, you want to bear in mind that some of these products, certain things, and it depends on how, you know, after your hair might get used to certain things, so, and the responsiveness may vary. So, you know, just be, listen to these folks. Let's listen to Keisha McAllister. So, folks, if you, and the hairstylist, of course, you're pro folk. So if you guys are just tuning in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I am in Brooklyn, New York. Yes, and good morning to you guys out there. I'm with Keisha McAllister, who comes to us, and I love this, all the way from California. Like, you are literally 3,000 miles from me as we broadcast today. So this is really incredible, 3,000 miles away. And I'm always interested up in your area, up in Northern California. Folks know I lived in Southern California. But up there, so the weather is not quite as brutal as it is here, but I know it gets a little chillier up there. So how does that affect? I know we were talking about products, but how, you know, when you go to other places, have you noticed that, like, a difference with the temperature because of you guys out in California? Or is it just pretty much the same and you don't notice, or you don't notice anything like that where you are? In other words, comparing to travel to different, like, states or different places you've been. Because I always thought that California, you know, the temperature might play, the environment might play a part in, you know, in their style and, you know, how long the styles last and even the look and all of that. So, but maybe I could be wrong about that.
Well, here in, at least in my part of California, right now it's just really, really soggy. But we really don't have a lot of humidity, although as a stylist, it's my responsibility to make sure that my client's hair lasts.
So I tend to use humidity blocking. You know, things that are going to help that there, well, they call it silk press, but that flat iron, we call it flat iron, that flat iron lasts the way it needs to, or to resist, you know, humidity and things like that, moisture, so it don't turn on, so it won't turn on them. But I just, that's just my responsibility. And I'm proud when my client comes back, oh, my hair lasted so-and-so. That's my responsibility. And I need to show her how to wrap her hair so it will keep. That's also my responsibility. It doesn't make sense for her to spend that money with me in 2 days her hair goes back.
Right, that's true.
And it's going to make me look bad. As a hairdresser, that's gonna make me look bad. Yeah, she can't do no hair, you know, and that's not what you want to hear, right? So that's the way I just prepare my clients for it. It doesn't matter if you know if they know it's raining, then you need to wear a hooded jacket and you know prepare yourself, and we'll wrap it before you leave out of here. But other than that, I really don't trip on the weather. I'm here to do my job, right.
I love it. Okay, well, as you have figured out, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. Keisha, I'm loving this talk today. I really am. This is what we are here to do. Yeah, so this is the beginning. And what we will be doing is breaking down some of the product reviews, which we will start to do right here on the show. So I cannot wait. That's going to be something that we really can sink our teeth into, as they say. So, that's all. Any closing thoughts on our product talk today? So if you find yourself and you guys are a product junkie, just check in with us. Check in with us at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Please do.
Okay. Yes. So, all right, Keisha. So, listen, all right, stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more to get to on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Great job, Keisha McAllister.
Good morning.
here to tell you all about JustSalonTowels.com and their amazing bleach-proof, bleach-resistant towels. JustSalon Towels specializes in bleach-proof towels, which means that this is the only type of towel your beauty shop, hair salon, nail salon, or spa will ever need. We know that many of the hairstylists and hair colorists use bleach to wash their salon towels to remove any dye. JustSalon towels are dyed with a special process which makes them highly resistant to fading that's caused by exposure to bleach. And this will solve that problem, as they are bleach resistant. The color stays vibrant for a much longer time. The JustSalon towels, bleach-proof, bleach-resistant towels, are made out of quality 100% ring-spun cotton and are available in 8 colors to match your salon style. Order today at JustSalonTowels.com. Again, that's JustSalonTowels.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Happy Monday, April 10th, 2023. It's our show number 835. Let me bring to the line my amazing co-star. You guys know her well, Miss Nicole Marie, the Queen of the Morning. Hello, Nicole
Marie.
Good
morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy mid-show.
Yes, yes, yes. Great to have you with us. We have listened to you all morning in our first hour.
Oh, yes.
Really great job.
Yes.
Good job.
I love it. Love it.
Yes.
Just amazing.
Well,
amazing.
Yes. Thank you. I agree. I'm going to be the first to say this is really a very, very rare occasion for us. We're live this morning.
It certainly is.
It is April 10th. Yes, 2023. It's our show number 835. It's 7:17 in the morning. It's 6:17 if you're out in Central Time Zone, like so many of our amazing fans and yourself, Nicole Marie. So I just want to say first, it's great to be with you on a Monday morning.
Yes, it
is. Really is.
So happy to be here with you as well.
It's
a definite change, but I love it. I know. I love it, though.
Yes, me too. Because here's the deal. You guys know that we are on 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning Eastern. It's 5 to 8 for Central Time Zone, folks. And with the show is live. So we are live with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday normally. But
right.
This week, following the Easter holiday, we wanted to be with you live for so many reasons.
That
we're going to get into that. But, so I love the idea, you know, we're like, oh, my God, we're going to be doing a Monday live. We never do live Monday. And so this is really exciting. So let me tell you, while we're on the subject, we're this week broadcasting live today, Monday, tomorrow, Tuesday. We skip Wednesday. We're taking a little midweek break on Wednesday. We'll be back live Thursday and Friday this week. So if you need to write it down, I'll repeat it. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, this week. Now, next week, we return to normal. And that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for next week. This week, we're Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. You could do the little schedule dance, I call it. Okay,
right.
So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this week. You got it. You know, lots to talk about on Monday.
There's a
lot to talk about. Let me just officially say, in the next hour, we have a special guest who's coming back to our show specifically just for today. His name is Wayne Smith. He's the former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey. He was there a mayor for 12 years. Irvington, New Jersey, for folks who are not in our area, it's like outside of New York City. It's over in New Jersey, near Newark, New Jersey, and all of that, kind of like where Whitney Houston's family is from. So that should give you some idea where it is. It's in northern New Jersey, not down there by Philadelphia and all that stuff. It's up here near New York, right near where we had our big show that you guys heard about in the first hour today.
Right.
So lots to talk about, Nicole Marie.
Oh, yes.
And before we get into that, Michael Hopkins will be with us in just a few minutes. You guys know him. He's the host of That Talk Radio. We're going to talk to him about that. His big show is tomorrow. We're going to get his feedback on that. But Nicole, we always, That Talk Radio, 8:30 Tuesday mornings, 7:30 Central Time Zone. Listen, we have to talk about Nicole Marie. You always lead in with your incredible hope for each day. So Monday today, our wonderful rare, I said this is like Halley's Comet, seeing us on a Monday live on the radio. We're really
But it's wonderful, yes. Yes.
Yeah, but it feels great.
But I'm excited,
Doesn't it feel refreshing? It does. It feels different.
It does. We're kicking off the week.
We're kicking the week. We're starting the week. And boy, do we have some things to get into. But first,
yes, we do.
Nicole Marie, take it away with our hope of the day.
Thank you, Carrie. We definitely need hope right now, and hope is the belief that our future can be better than our past. No matter what each one of us may be going through, have gone through, there's always that positive expectation that change can and will occur in our lives. And hope is so very, very important because it gives our lives so much meaning. So I want to share hope of the day. All of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, and this moment is courtesy of the book called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay. So today, listen to what's not being said. Most of us hear people speaking. What's more important is what they're not saying. Look for the subtext. Be aware of what has been left out. Observe their revealing physical reactions. Often, the real message is in the omissions. So that's very powerful today, Carrie.
Yeah, I love that because it's really true. It's what it's really saying is not what they're actually saying or doing, but it's kind of like what's being channeled to you. That's where, because they will leave that out in their communication to you or with you.
Exactly.
Between the
They'll
lines.
Say some one thing, but mean something else, Carrie.
Absolutely. Well, that's often for us on this planet. And we're going to talk about that, too, getting into a whole bunch of that in the next hour. But I've got to say, I love the hopes of the day that you share. I think it's just fantastic.
So
it inspires us
to kick off each day.
And this week, you're actually today kicking off the week, like you said.
Right.
So
it's
even more inspirational. It's even more aspirational for us. And so I'm super, super excited. So listening to today's broadcast, what did you think? We started off. Yes. Okay. I have to admit, the music, it was a little bit long in the tooth.
Oh, yes, but I loved
it.
Always loved Jennifer Hudson. Oh, yes.
Yes, that was the Jennifer Hudson version.
Yes,
and I'm telling you, from the Dreamgirls movie. I love Jennifer Hudson. I love all the Jennifers. I love Jennifer Holliday. I love Jennifer Hudson. And all those great ladies who can really sing. I mean, they can sell like nobody's
business.
They
can.
Yeah, yeah. Both of
their
them
voices
are
so distinct. You cannot, you hear their voice and, you know instantly it's them. Very distinct voices. Just powerhouses.
There's a video of the two of them singing together at the end of the song. Oh, my gosh. What a video. Wow. That's all I can say. If you haven't seen it, Google it. Or no,
I have not. I definitely am.
Oh, you really have?
I have not seen them, the two of them together. No, I have not.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I have to watch that.
I'm speechless.
Because they're both amazing.
They're amazing. And boy, oh, boy, Jennifer Hudson starts the song off and she calls up Jennifer Holliday from the original play. Jennifer Holliday, you guys remember, she won a Tony Award back in the day for that role.
Yes, she did.
Just for that iconic role. And so I just thought it would be fitting to play the song. And I'm telling you, I'm not going. Because today our big topic is the Tennessee Three. And that's pretty much their new theme song. So we're going to talk all about that in the next half hour. How quite appropriate. And then speaking of some of the classic songs, you know we play a lot of classics, particularly on Thursdays, but sometimes when the mood hits us, when
that's
you, the fans,
at all times,
great music, yes. So, excuse me, I wanted to play some, you know, in honor of great ladies like my co-star Nicole Marie and so many of you guys out there, so many women who are really literally working hard for the money. And it couldn't be put to music any better than what Miss Donna Summer, the Queen of Disco, did so many years ago. And I just thought
definitely
it would be appropriate.
The Queen of Disco.
Morning.
I love it, Carrie. I love it.
Really? Okay. I said, let me go ahead and play that this morning. You guys had requested some Donna Summer. We've never played Donna Summer on our, in 30 years on the show. I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of Miss Summer. And we love her and miss her so much. Yeah, she had a big health issue at the end that, you know, she pretty much kept it a secret from all of us. And so I remember when we lost her, it was just such a shock. But she left us with such a treasure trove of great music. And so this is one of those great songs that we played today. Again, she worked hard for the money by Miss Donna Summer. Great, great. And let me just take a moment to shout out one of our favorite listeners out there and fans of the show, Queen Treese, who you guys hear quite often during our little Queen. This is Queen Treese on the broadcast. We are shouting her out this morning, who just is doing great things down in the Louisiana area. So, again, shout out to Queen Treese and so many of you guys out there. Speaking of fans of the show, there was at our big, and we talked about the Live on Stage event coming to New York this morning.
It was awesome.
In the first hour. Well, I don't know if you remember, there was a wonderful, wonderful fan who came to the live show named Andrea. And she, you know, she drops into our Live on Stage show at the Gene Franco Theater just recently. And we're like, okay, you know, she has some funky style about herself, very friendly. She brought a gift. She gave me some beautiful bracelets that bear my name. And lovely, absolutely lovely. I have to take a picture and put them out there for you guys.
Yeah,
and
please
so,
do.
I will. I mean, just absolutely breathtaking. And so she came to the show. She participated in everything, got up and talked a little bit about herself. And what was remarkable is that we stayed in touch. And so here I am. She needed some help with getting a digital online presence. And I said, well, you know, I can help with sites and little stuff here and there. And we got to talking, and she's like, I'm a singer. Now, you know, I've been in the business for 3 decades. So I've heard, when you say you're a singer, I've heard many folks say, I'm a singer. Yeah, you know. And I'm so I just, okay, great, you know, big acknowledgement.
Right.
Right. Well, boy, she sent me over the songs to add to her digital presence, her online presence that I'm building and constructing for her. When I tell you, I was literally just blown away, Nicole Marie.
Wow.
I was literally blown away that she has such an amazing gift. So last night I'm listening to her incredible song, and I'm like, I can't believe that you're not famous already.
Wow.
Her voice is, yeah, she has so many different layers to it. And she's very talented. It's a very unique voice. And I love her style of music. So I'm going to have to bring one of the songs at least to the show.
Yes,
please
do.
I got to get one on for you guys.
I'm excited to hear.
Yes, maybe I'll drop one in. I'll see if I can drop one in tomorrow. I'm going to see if I can get her on for tomorrow's show. Just a couple minutes to kind of introduce her to a lot of the folks. You've met her, Nicole Marie.
Yes, I have.
Dynamite person. So I'm super excited. She goes by the name Rumble. Yeah. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about her business. She designs the, you name it, kind of jewelry. So where she personalizes the jewelry, which is quite unique. So, you know, we've got some good stuff going on.
I'm excited about that, Carrie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And when I tell you that each song I've heard that I listen to for the first time, I usually don't always, you know how music sometimes have to grow on you?
Right.
You have to hear it several times.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But her song, as soon as I heard it the first time, boom.
It hits you.
So I was very impressed, and I had to call her up, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you love my music." I was like, "Yeah, are you kidding? It's a joy." And that's something I want to share with the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I think that she'd be a great fit. Yeah. So behind the scenes, we're going to collaborate on a new theme song for the broadcast.
Oh, that's awesome, Carrie.
Yeah, so much to talk about. So much to talk about, Nicole Marie.
So much. All right. Yes, a lot happening.
So listen, yeah, lots happening. It's Monday morning again, April 10th. It's very rare that we're live with you on the air, as we are. We are. You know, so Monday, April 10th, 2023, our show number 835. It's hard to believe, but yeah, we've done 35 live shows since we hit the 800 mark. So 835.
We're moving along, yes.
We are
on our way to 1,000.
Exactly. So today's show was inspired by all the talk of the Tennessee Three. And we really wanted to have, I think it was your great intuitive sense and suggestion, Nicole Marie, to bring back this guest to the show today,
Mr.
Wayne Smith. So what inspired you?
We need to hear all the details. Well, I just love having Wayne Smith on. He's our political commentator, and he always brings us so much detailed information. He's definitely in the know, and he just brings it and breaks things down for us on the show. And what better way to get to the bottom of the Tennessee Three than to have Wayne Smith back on the show? So I'm just excited and always look forward to speaking with him.
Me too. And if you guys don't know who the Tennessee Three are, we're talking about the lawmakers who were ousted, literally two of the three, we should say, were ousted.
Justin Jones and Justin Pearson.
Exactly.
From Tennessee, And it's so sad,
Tennessee.
Carrie, because they're from Shelby County and Davidson County, which are predominantly black and brown communities, and they won by landslides. And then for this to happen, it's just such a tragic thing. But, hey, they're coming back.
Oh, yes.
Exactly, because the ouster was not from the people. Let's just be clear about that.
The people voted
them
in.
It wasn't from their constituencies, exactly. So let's make that clear. And we're going to get into it. We're going to break it apart in the next hour. So I cannot wait to get into that talk. And I got to say, it's time to get on someone, Nicole Marie. You know, that you guys heard from early this morning in the first hour, in which we were talking about the trip to New York. And I just love how we broke it all down. Remember, one of my favorite, one of my favorite parts of the conversation was bringing in Katrina Jones, who has been a contributor here and there to the broadcast over the years, and we're excited. And I loved her retelling of the visit to New York. So I enjoyed
it. Wonderful. We had so much
fun.
It
was wonderful. Yes, I think so too. And if you missed it, you can play the show back. We're going to share it on our social media, and it'll say recorded playback. You just hit the button, and you're off to the races. So, Nicole Marie, let's get on the man who'll be joining us at 8:30 with his new episode, too. And you're quite welcome. You are quite welcome, Queen Tree. She just responded to our shout-out to say thank
Wonderful.
You. And you're quite welcome. All right. Let us turn to Michael Hopkins. You guys know him. He is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show right here on our
network.
Our
King of Claims.
Yeah. And Queen Tree, we're just going to have to put you on. She wanted to shout out to Nicole Marie as well.
She said hello. Very sweet. Nice. Very good morning.
Yes. So awesome job. Okay. And Michael Hopkins, of course. Michael, good morning. Listen to that. You got a big shout out.
Good morning, Michael.
This morning, panel. Good morning, Hopkins.
Wow. Good morning. Good morning, Nicole Marie. Good morning, Carrie Hines.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Now, it's Monday morning, Michael. It's April 10th of 2023. It's a very rare occurrence, probably the first time ever, that you guys have been on live with me on a Monday morning.
We rarely have
done a Monday morning show in over 2 years. So this is very rare. Yes, you might see
Harold
comment before you see me do this again.
this is epic.
Yes, it is.
This is epic for us. Yeah. So what went through your mind, Michael, with Monday? And tell us what your whole experience has been about this morning with the show.
Wow. You know, you kind of hit me with both barrels this morning because you had Jennifer Hudson on there. And I was listening to it, and I was thinking, it reminded me so much of the movie, the Dreamgirls movie,
and that
scene when she came in and she was talking to Jamie Foxx. And all. I mean, I was actually in the movie watching it while she was singing. And I was like, wow. Yeah, because I really enjoyed that movie. You know, I don't watch a whole lot of genre like that as far as movies, but I really enjoyed that movie. And then Carrie Hines turned around and he played one of my favorite female artists of all time.
Well, who is that?
Miss Love to Love You Baby herself, Donna Summer. She is one of my all-time favorites.
Wow.
That bass line.
Have you heard of the song that we played before?
Oh, yes. I remember that very well. And the reason why I remember it very well, because it was a music video. And I remember to this day, I remember the music video, all the ladies dancing in it, and it told a story. And that's what I loved about it. A lot of the music videos back then did not tell a story.
Actually, Michael, you're right.
Yeah.
I recall the video when it was released.
And Donna herself said that she got the idea for the song when she was out literally eating, and she had come across a waitress who was overworked and tired and standing on her feet trying to take her order. And she
wow.
got the inspiration for the song. She took a napkin right there and wrote it down. She had a little pencil or pen, and she wrote it right there on the napkin. The
wow.
started writing the lyrics of the song. And later, when they came time for to have the video concept for the song, of course, it was a no-brainer to base it on what inspired the song. And this is what happens, you know, when you think of women, when I think of women and ladies, and that was the whole reason folks ask me quite often, Carrie, you're a guy, why did you start or why are you in the hair business and doing a radio show about hair and beauty and all of that? And the real truth is I so appreciate being able to pay tribute to the so many women,
yeah.
beginning with my amazing mom, who
yes.
was able to multitask. She could, you know, do 50 things at once, tend to all
That's
the kids
it.
In the house, go to work.
We multitask
and,
like nobody's yes, business.
And give you a backhand if you needed it on occasion.
Yeah, and we are talking about the, you know, Carrie, Nicole Marie is the queen of all that. Like I said, the next time I meet up with you guys, I am bringing a tank.
We don't do that anymore. But my mama's hand was like, it had an extension. It could
yes.
be.
Yes.
And that backhand, you did not, it was never the front hand, it was the backhand. Just boop.
Yep.
Keep on
pretty
going.
Much.
But you know what?
Yeah,
yeah but you know, it was never done out of abuse and all that kind of stuff.
No,
that,
no,
that,
it was always
no,
out of
all.
Love.
Not at all.
Right.
It was out of love.
It was out of love. But
you
I'll
know?
Tell you, I so appreciate these laws now because we learned that
yeah.
you don't have to strike and hit kids. And so that
no,
was back in that
not.
Generation in that time. So we don't do that. So we are telling you not the way to go. Do not strike or hit. Or get a switch or any of that stuff. And you know what I'm talking about. So,
you know, Carrie, I just can't wait when we go on the cruise and just, you know, I know, you know, Nicole Marie, you're going to have your itinerary, and I'm just going to follow. Me and Luther, you know, we're just going to follow you. We're not going to, it's going to be, oh, okay, is that what we got to do? See, because that's the kind of guy I am. You know, when my wife says, this is what we got to do, I go, okay.
Uh-huh.
And we just
say,
go
okay.
do
and keep on
yeah.
moving.
Well, the cruise, which I'm so happy that you mentioned it, is going to be an incredible time. It's a 5-day cruise. Complete details are on our website at hairradio.com. Again, HAIradio.com. There's a big old tab that says 5-day cruise. You click on that and a big old page of information comes up. And
right.
Essentially, if you're listening right now and would like to go after 9 o'clock, you can reach us here in the office, New York Times, and we're happy to talk to you and get you all set up for the cruise. We've had several folks who have already made deposits.
Oh, yes.
And because you got a long time. You can put a little bit down, I think like $50, and
right.
hold the room.
Pay each month, yeah.
Yeah. And you need to do that between now and the next few weeks, because that's going to be it. And so you got to pay your deposit right away. And then you got a long time to pay off the cruise. You got plenty
right.
of time. You can put down so little money each month or every 2 months, whatever floats your boat, literally. So I'm super excited about it. I really am. And I'm looking forward to the cruise myself, Michael. And
I
can't wait.
Oh,
yeah,
pretty
so it's gonna
much.
Be a great time. And I think we
so
have
excited.
Nicole Marie going. We've got Katrina's going. David, DB, you guys hear him. He's going as well.
Awesome.
I'm going. So we've got quite a few folks who are heading
yeah.
out there. And a few others.
Another
will be
reunion
joining us
coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know it's on. It is so
looking
on.
Forward to a great
yeah.
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
I'm excited
fun
about
stuff.
It as well.
I can't wait. Actually going on a cruise instead
a
of
5-day cruise.
being on duty doing things like back in the day.
Yeah.
Being able to
and we're
relax.
Flying out of Miami. Yeah, I just wanted to get that in there. We're flying out of Miami, Florida. So, Nicole Marie, we got to get a good hotel down there in Florida.
Oh, yes, yes. Hey, I'm going to start doing my research soon.
Absolutely. I know that's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There'll be an encyclopedia of Britannica on that
one. Oh, yes.
Oh,
from boy.
I'll
have my notes
A
to and
Z, but we're looking forward to it.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
We're looking
yeah.
forward to it.
A great time.
We are. Well, listen, I am super excited. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break. Michael, when we come back, it's time to talk about Vet Talk. So we want to hear all about what's happening this week on Vet Talk Radio and what it feels like to actually be on tomorrow with the broadcast. So that's going to be, that's really, really super exciting. So let's take a break and we'll come back, put on some music. Let's just keep it rolling this morning. We're playing a few little throwback songs and we'll be right back. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
If I could change the way I live my life today, I wouldn't change a single thing. 'Cause if I change my world into another place, I wouldn't see your smiling face. Believe me, believe that I love you so.
Keisha McAllister. How fantastic, I should say. Hey, 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 how are you doing out there in wonderful Fairfield, California? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Hey, hey, it's just...
Yes, yes.
I'm good. How are you, Carrie?
Doing fantastic. Listen, I just want to jump on in. I have to talk about this. I've seen it all over the news in recent days. It's a year now since we've really talked about this, and I want to thank the Academy Awards for reminding us of this huge, huge, huge story, which had a whole lot to do with comedian Chris Rock literally being smacked by actor Will Smith, who went on that evening to win an Academy Award. Well, it's been a year, and folks are still talking about the word alopecia. Now, I have to say, Keisha, that I think for the most part, the word really was not out there all that much. And this story that we broke, well, I shouldn't say we broke, sir, but I'd like to take some credit in getting it out there. We talked about it immediately. We went right on the air to talk about this. And, of course, we're talking about the big slap. And, Keisha, I have to say, I do you remember where you were when you first heard about the big slap?
You know what, Carrie? It was actually my ex-husband who told me about the big slap.
Really?
Yeah, it was him. And he sent me a YouTube clip of all things to show
wow.
me exactly what happened. So I got to see it, you know, after the fact. And it was quite an interesting, it was a spectacle, I can say that.
You could, yeah. Well, what we're talking about was at the Academy Awards, and it's out there on YouTube. It's no surprise. If you haven't seen it, you've been under a rock. Okay.
Sure.
Well, speaking of Rock, the actual person on the stage was Chris Rock, and he was slapped. First of all, Chris told what seeming to many to be an innocuous, innocent joke that Will Smith's wife kind of resembled G.I. Jane was the punch of the joke, punchline of the joke, and so this. It appeared that Will was kind of enjoying the joke at first, and it also further appeared that Jada looked to be upset on camera. Will looked over at Jada, got up out of his chair, went on stage, and gave poor Chris a slap in the face and kind of adjusted his little walk and went off stage, back to his seat, and then he yelled up from the audience to keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Mm.
And I remember Lupita Nyong'o looking over at Will Smith as he was saying that. It was just, she was looking like, oh my. It was very interesting. And so the world saw this, and I was shocked. Were you shocked even when you saw the video?
You know, Carrie, I was shocked, but I'm one of those people that, you know, there are certain characters that always show up at an event, and I felt like, you know what, somebody had to be him, and it was his turn. You know, somebody
wow.
had to do something crazy at the big show, and it was his turn.
Oh,
I mean,
that
he's been
was
a good
crazy.
For so long, so you know,
yeah.
I guess he got
that was his time,
right?
Okay. Well, listen, we've got to talk about the hair side of this. Now, I remember so well because you know we've been talking about hair loss and the word alopecia for decades. Literally, nobody knew who we were, what we were talking about. It was never. No one paid any attention to us talking and using the word alopecia. Well, one slap. Okay, well, that was a slap around the world, literally. Millions and millions and millions of people, probably a billion people saw this. So for us, the word alopecia hit the lexicon of the world. And thanks to this incident at the Oscars. Now, 1 year later, what can we say about the word alopecia? First of all, what exactly, when we say alopecia, we're talking about the medical term for the word hair loss.
Yes.
Okay. There's so many different types of hair loss to get into, so many. And I can safely say that I don't recall. I know Jada has talked about having alopecia.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can let me know out there. But I... It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to a special Monday edition of The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines with Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins. Again, it's show number 835. It's great to have you guys with us as we roll into our third hour on the broadcast today. And the day is going by so fast. Oh, my goodness.
It has. It has flown by. It's been a wonderful morning, though. Wonderful.
Well, Nicole, now I want to say thank you. I think it has been just fantastic. It really has. I also want to say this whole show today was really inspired by your concept to talk about the Tennessee Three. So you're leading coverage today on this whole conversation, and Wayne Smith being our special talker and contributor this morning, coming up in just a few minutes. So what do you want us to know, Nicole Marie, most about these gentlemen?
Wow. It's the Tennessee Three. This is, oh my goodness, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson were expelled for standing up and protesting gun safety. And it's just such a blow to Shelby County and Davidson County constituents in Tennessee.
Yes.
Because they are a majority, you know, black and brown community.
Yes. Well listen,
just,
out there,
so
guys.
Sad.
Yeah, Nicole Marie, I am just so excited to hear all about it. I cannot wait for you to be kicking this off in just a few minutes. It's so exciting to see you progress so amazingly on the show, to leading the coverage this morning. So congratulations, and we're
Thank
real proud
you so
of
much.
You. Yeah. Now, speaking of amazing colleagues, Michael Hopkins, the Vet Talk radio show is the first time ever we're saying the show was on tomorrow, because usually we're not on Mondays, and your show rolls in on Tuesdays at 8:30. Eastern. Tomorrow, your show is scheduled a little bit after, so around 8 o'clock, you want to be tuned in. so you can catch the entire, we have a little bit more coverage of Michael's Vet Talk radio show on Tuesday. So, Michael, what's your show all about tomorrow? Share with the fans.
Wow, quick talk. It's going to be all about those decision letters that we get in the mail as veterans. We're going to break it all down.
Awesome.
So
important. I cannot wait.
Yes, awesome.
Yeah. The Vet Talk radio show. Start listening at about 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. That's tomorrow on Tuesday. So, Michael, you know, I'm super excited about it. It's going to be a brand-new episode. You don't want to miss it again. The Vet Talk radio show plays right here.
You don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
Quite
so
true.
Really, really exciting. So good stuff. And good things that, you know, that are coming this week on the Hair Radio Network and all that we're doing. And by the way, I need to just remind everybody that at our website at HAIRadio.com, at the HairRadio.com website, in the left corner, whether you're on a cell phone or a website or what have you, you'll see kind of like a Flintstone arrow, I call it. It's a puffy arrow. And it's tan, and all you do is you click on it, and it'll start playing our 24-hour network, so you can hear the latest in all that's happening. But the only thing I want you to pay attention to this is that is our recent broadcast, so it's not live. So you cannot listen to this 3-hour live show there. You can listen to it after we're off. And other shows there, and music, and all of that. But the only way to listen to this 3-hour Hair Radio morning show live from 6 to 9, 5 to 8 Central, is by calling in on the 516 number as you do. So that I want to make sure that that's clear. So we have like two separate networks. We've got the live 516 call-in number, and then separately we have a 24-hour network that plays the recent and classic clips and all of that. So you don't want to, you know, you want to enjoy both. So when we go off at 9 o'clock, that's a great way to stay connected, is to go to our website at hairradio.com and continue to listen to the other recorded classic shows that we've done. So real good stuff. Does that make sense, guys?
It
makes
does.
Sense to me.
All right. So listen, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and when we come back, we've got the incomparable Mr. Wayne Smith, who'll be with us on the airwaves, and Nicole Marie, who'll be leading off the coverage this morning on Tennessee 3 with Mr. Wayne
looking
Smith.
Forward to it.
And, we're all going to join in at some point. I'm so excited. And it's great. I think this is the first time I think Wayne will be with us pretty much back-to-back shows.
Right, pretty much, yeah.
Back-to-back shows, right, guys? Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So we're going to get into all of that. So I cannot wait. So, again, you don't want to go anywhere. If you have something that you want to say about the Tennessee 3, then press 1 on your cell phone or your phone. And that'll be our indication that you have something that you want to say on air live this morning, and we'll get you on. So I'm super excited. Here's a short commercial break. And this commercial also, we've got the Fix Your Feet folks, Dr. Ragland, who'll be joining us. She's coming back to the show live as well in the weeks to come. So Dr. Yolanda Ragland, who is the foot doctor. You guys know her. She's the queen of toes. She'll be with us again soon. And also, we have so many others. And I just got to shout out our incredible Jess Salon Towels. Again, they have been just doing amazing things. They have 10% off the entire order. JessSalonTowels.com, really, for all the complete details. You will just love it. And again, that's where the professionals who have the shops, they sell out there. So, that's pretty much it. Let's go ahead. Let's get on a little commercial break. And then again, Wayne Smith will be joining us.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carrie shampoo and Carrie conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carrie, and we thank you. Please register at Carrie.com and join our Carrie community at hairradio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
All right, we're back live this morning. It is Monday, April 10th of 2023, session number 835. And we're here on a very, very rare Monday. Again, we normally are not live on Monday mornings. We usually do the show 6 to 9 a.m. live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. But today, following our Easter break, of course, a very special broadcast today, inspired by really my colleague in the industry, Miss Nicole Marie. And I'll have Nicole Marie tell you all about it as she leads the coverage on the topic today. Nicole Marie, take it away. Nicole Marie.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Carrie. Our next guest is definitely no stranger to the Hair Radio Morning Show. He was here a few days ago, and we just had to have him back. I talked with Carrie over the weekend, and I said we have got to have Wayne back to talk about the Tennessee Three. So our guest, Mr. Wayne Smith, he is the former mayor of Irvington, New Jersey, which is outside of New York, and he was the mayor for 12 years, and I just want to welcome him and say good morning, Wayne. It's always
good morning,
such a pleasure,
Nicole,
to have you here on the show, and I, like I said,
yeah, I'm delighted.
Care, we have got to have you back. Got to have
yes.
you back.
Well, thank you for your invitation.
I was so just disheartened. At the end of last week with all of this that was going on, I'm an alderwoman here locally in my community, and I know just how important it is when you are representing your community, your constituents. And for something like this to happen is just, it's just terrible, just terrible. So definitely wanted to have you back to just let us know what is happening right now, what is going on with the Tennessee lawmakers. And again, for our listeners, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, who represent Shelby County and Davidson County in the state of Tennessee, were expelled for standing up and protesting gun safety. So Wayne, if you would, just give us just an update on where we are right now with the Tennessee Three.
I think that the anti-democracy move of the Tennessee legislature has put this on a national, made this a national story. And so I think there are a couple things we need to continue to watch. So let's start with the basic, the Tennessee Three, but only two of them got expelled from the legislature.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, but Gloria Johnson, who's still standing with them to her credit, was not expelled. And her expulsion fell short by one vote. And in her defense, the Tennessee legislature accused her of taking some actions that she did not take at all, even though Justin Pearson, Representative Pearson, and Representative Jones did go to the well, and they were so passionate about stating their objection to gun violence in their state that they wanted to take a stand. And I think, you know, all, and I've been a city councilman and you're an alderman, so you know you do have to have some decorum in your meetings, but there's some issues that you know, some people are going to take real serious stands. And I think to their credit, in light of you know, things like assault weapons and you know, bringing a ban back on those kinds of things, and what happened in a recent school,
right?
In
just a couple
Tennessee,
weeks ago,
you go right that they took a stand. So you censor them, whatever you do, but you don't expel them because they represent thousands of people in their prospective county. So Shelby County,
exactly,
which is the home county of Memphis, and Davidson County. So I think they both did a yeoman job of expressing their views. Now, here's where the fight becomes elongated. So they have now gotten notice that their expulsion, and we're going to see today, later on today, whether or not the expulsion gets overturned. Maybe there's some enlightened people in the legislature who'll say, maybe this isn't the thing to do. They're putting too much spotlight on us, and we'll roll that back.
Right.
But we shall see. But they were notified before this vote today, and I watched an Instagram reel of them this morning where Representative Pearson and Representative Jones said they were notified by the Speaker Sexton, that's his name, Speaker Sexton, the lawyers notified them that they would not be eligible to come back to sit in their seats until 2025.
Wow.
So that's probably over a 1 year expulsion if this were to stand. Now they say they have talked to some constitutional lawyers. Now this is a very important lesson for the Hair Radio audience and Americans in general, because more people are familiar with the federal constitution, but every state has a constitution.
Right.
And oftentimes when people hear the word constitutional issue, they go immediately to the federal constitution. Well, you know, voting and state legislative rules and all those kinds of things, even city government in many instances, are dictated by the state legislature and the state constitution. Most
right.
cities or municipalities or local entities are creations of the state and that state constitution. So they said they talked to some constitutional lawyers and they said that they can't do that. So we'll see if there's a battle on constitutional grounds and it ends up in the Supreme Court in Tennessee. But I do want people to realize this is not a new fight. This is a fight for black and brown people that have been going on. And I'll go back to, and Carrie will probably be a little familiar with this because he's a New Yorker. We're not that old, neither one of us, but when Adam Clayton Powell was in Congress, they expelled him from Congress.
when
Adam Clayton Powell were running around, but he was expelled from Congress, and the people of Harlem sent him back. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So he was expelled, and so democracy had to stand. His case ended up in the United States Supreme Court because they tried to kick him. We kicked you out. They can send you back. Yeah, they sent him back, and it stood because the Supreme Court stood up on the principle of democracy. This is who the people of Harlem sent down here. You expelled them, and they voted again to send him back. So now, what you going to do about it now? So he was able to regain his seat. But even in your home state, because this is a way that they the power elite take back power. So
right.
In Jackson, Mississippi, they're trying to run the state government there. I mean, the local government.
So true.
And they're trying to take powers away from the local government there in Mississippi. When I became a city councilman in Irvington in 1996, the mayor at that time had some fiscal improprieties, and so the city budget was so out of whack. The state literally used its budgetary powers to come in and take over. And so we had that fight. I said, well, you can't override what the elected officials of this municipality have done. And so even though
right.
the state and the state constitution had powers to do it, they did work with the elected officials through that process. And when I became mayor, I got us out of that state takeover process.
You cleaned it up.
So
Yeah.
We got out of that state takeover process. But if this is not an unusual thing, and I think as we look at this really divided country we have right now, you're going to see more and more of these kind of maneuvers of state takeovers and suspensions and expulsion of people in the state legislature. And I use the Adam Clayton Powell story to tell the people of Tennessee that they have to stand tall behind these two brothers. Don't let the news cycle take this issue
exactly.
out of the press. because that's what they're counting on. They're counting on that the people in Tennessee and others nationally will go to sleep on this because some other story will take the news cycle. And I was just watching a minister from D.C. who's discussing the same issue that we're discussing this morning. What's Mark? I can give it. They had on this clip I was watching Reverend Mark, but I forget Mark's last name. He used to be a radio commentator in D.C. area, but so he's a pastor now. So he said that you know the Montgomery bus boycott lasted over a year, 365 days. Do we have the ability to sustain movements around issues like this for an extended period of time and not get moved by the news cycle? So they just had a current issue in Tennessee, where they named the highway after John Lewis. I think they called it the John Lewis Way.
Right.
And some folks down there tried to name a part of that same highway after Donald Trump. They beat that back. They said, oh, no. This is John Lewis Way, and that's going to be it. And so they won that fight there. So let's hope that they continue to fight. I listened that. Representative Pearson talk at a local church there, and I think they're going to create a movement out of this because he was saying, you know, look, you know, just like Jesus, they crucified him on Friday, resurrection on Sunday, and so he said, you know, I'm expelled today. Only God knows what's going to happen to us in the future, so we have to keep this battle on. So it's a political lynching.
But I feel like just with the protest and so forth, that our younger generation, people are standing up. And
no, absolutely.
I just hope, yes, they are definitely standing up, making their voice heard. And I just hope that it will continue and that others will just continue to stand up, let their voice be heard so this does not die out. Because this is so, so very, very important. And it affects all of us in our community.
Yeah, and so, you know, a couple other steps should be taken to probably help these young men. And the interesting thing about this fight, these are very young legislators. They're not an old guys and girls. These two gentlemen are very, it's clear to me. Yeah, they're relatively young, very articulate, and know the process. So I think they hopefully sustain this into something that makes some gains for the people of Tennessee, and I think they're in it for the long haul. And I think a couple things need to happen from the community standpoint, not only in Tennessee but nationally. Since we're making this a national story, you know, we need to try to figure out how to get them some legal help, and whether it's a legal defense fund that needs to be raised to look at those issues in Tennessee around the Constitution, because we can scream and yell, but this is going to end up in a court. We need to scream
in court,
but we also need to have the legal firepower and the financial firepower to sustain a fight like this. And so one is probably should be a legal defense fund that represents them and looks at these constitutional questions and is prepared to go to court. And whether attorneys like Ben Crump and others get involved, I don't know. But, you know, there needs to be some concerted effort. And I hope that the legal NAACP Legal Defense Fund and other organizations like that are looking at this as a model case. Because I see that once the Republicans rolled out a strategy, this is not going to be the only thing that happens in the state legislature. It's going to happen again and again, and we need to be prepared with a long-term strategy to deal with these kinds of issues. And I think, it also needs to be, because what happens to us oftentimes is the individuals themselves get crushed standing up for our people. So financially, you know, I don't know how they make their living. If the state legislature is a part-time job, if they have other professions or businesses they do. But when you're in a fight like this, you got to sustain yourself as well. So somebody needs to be looking at us. How do these brothers, if they got part-time income from the legislature, how do they sustain themselves in this fight? If they're going to get suspended, that means they got no paycheck for a year or whatever. And if that fight lasts that long or longer, how do they sustain themselves? And so we, you know, strategically, when you're in a fight and we're in a battle off times, we have to think at the long-term implications of what it means to the individual as well as the broader community, because these two guys could get crushed financially and everything
else. Exactly.
And they're taking a risk for our community. We got to mitigate that risk for them, you know, in terms of, you know, what happens to them, but more importantly, what happens to the broader community, because they're standing up to wage this fight on which more a deeper principle than their individual careers, because they could have sat
exactly.
very silent and just, you know, just expressed their concerns, but they took a very principled position around this gun violence situation that's affecting the country.
Exactly. Definitely advocates for their communities and for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So very,
Absolutely.
Very important. Yes. Well, thank you so much. And, Carrie, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you have questions. And you have comments to make. I know, Carrie.
Yes.
I know you're sitting there. You're ready and waiting.
Chomping at the bit.
Yes.
Great job, by the way. Good on the lead-in coverage on that, Nicole Marie. And Wayne Smith always on top of his game.
Always.
So listen.
Always.
I definitely want to build a little bit on that incredible background to the story. And I have to say, mm-hmm. you know, for me, this we did talk a little bit about it, I believe, on Thursday. It was just kind of bubbling up. What I love about the whole thing is that the Justins, I call them, two of the, you know, the Tennessee Three,
yeah.
of course, they were very vocal. You mentioned Wayne Smith, that they are articulate. They are articulate to the hilt.
Yes,
you know, Wayne
are.
Smith style articulate. They're incredibly
mm-hmm.
articulate. And it sometimes can be a surprise to us. And you know, we shouldn't be surprised that our own community, we can speak well. You know, these are little things, seeds that kind of been, you know, that we kind of have questioned ourselves without even realizing it, probably on a subconscious level. But no, these gentlemen are able to communicate with the best of them. And what
yeah.
I love about what you said, Wayne Smith, you said they know the process.
Mm-hmm.
They know the process. If you listen to them for 5 seconds, you know they know what they're talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
it. And that's what I truly love. And what that, what's his name, Sexton, whatever his
yeah,
name
the speaker,
is.
Yeah,
that gentleman
speaker,
down
speaker
there.
Sexton.
Yeah, who really, to me, this whole thing, just a very deliberate attempt at what I call this day's version of, you know, what do they call the Jim Crow type era type stuff. Muffling the voices
right, right.
of folks. Well, these gentlemen, I would not be surprised that eventually both of them would be reinstated, I believe, in some capacity or another, or go on to some other office on a federal level, perhaps. You never know. They are incredibly.
Well, yeah, I think that the nationwide publicity will put them in a good position if they wanted to advance to a higher level. The question is, we're going to find out today whether or not they get reinstated or not, because the
well,
vote is today.
Them, I think, well, yeah, I think Jones has the ability to possibly be reinstated today. The other gentleman, I think it's a little bit longer of a process, but I will tell
oh,
you
Pearson.
This much.
Mm-hmm.
Right, for Pearson, correct. But let me ask you guys this. What do you think? Don't you think that, now, Wayne, if you could tell us, because I know this is your area, but can't they write books and all of that and do movies?
Well, listen, all of these struggles become part of a historical record, and certainly, you know, somebody ought to do a chronicle of what's happened in the Tennessee legislature. So obviously, their story is of national import. And so here's the other thing, that had not this particular, had they not taken the position they've taken, some of the things that are going on in Tennessee wouldn't be brought to light. So one of the things that particularly Representative Pearson said, that we get treated like little boys here. I mean, they
right.
were
yeah.
quite candid.
Yeah.
They get disrespected. You know, they've been trying to,
yeah.
you know, they've been playing
right.
the process. They know what the rules of being a member of the legislature are. So they've been trying to follow the rules, but they've been blatantly disrespected. And then one of the, there was a, I watched MSNBC the other day, And there was a young man, I don't recall his name, but he was also a member of the legislature there. He was the youngest before these two. And he said that the gay had always been overlooked and disrespected. He said,
right.
I was the youngest
from day
before
one.
These two gentlemen joined the legislature. And he said it's been just appalling. So some of the things that have gone on in Tennessee is that they've used gerrymandering, and that process is they use the maps to make sure that in this case it's Republicans, but they've also they use it as a process to dilute black congressional districts or legislative districts. So
now, that gerrymandering or whatever, wasn't that? I hate to say, but was that started by the Democrats? I thought I heard that somewhere.
You got a lot of that was part of the strategy they used in the South. As you know, remember we went through Reconstruction. Part of what they decided to do was make sure that congressional maps were drawn in a way that certain people kept power. Now, remember in our American history, there were Dixiecrats. Liberal Northeastern or Western Democrats. You had a whole cadre in the Democratic Party that were the Jim Crow Brigade. I mean, you had people like Senator Byrd and others down there who were they were for segregation now, segregation then, and segregation forever. So, and they were Democrats. were Democrats. So, you know, one of the things that as citizens, and, you know, we are always saddled with having to earn a living and doing what we do on a day-to-day basis to sustain ourselves and our families, is that these guys are professional politicians. They spend all day studying this stuff and maneuvering. And so when we get there, we're trying to get certain basic things done for our communities. But then, you know, these guys have mastered the process. They created the process for themselves. And so they use every trick in the book to maintain power. And gerrymandering is one of them. So I understand the way Tennessee, you know, some of these things are going to come out as a debate ensues about these two young men. But then we're going to get a real look at what's going on in Tennessee. So it was interesting. I read about a high school coach who was a member of the legislature. The legislature must be a part-time job like it is in many other states. So there was a high school coach who had allegedly accosted some young girls, and his last name was Byrd, and he was a member of the legislature. And they tried to get him they didn't expel him from the legislature.
Right. There were two, I think there were some folks expelled, and then there were a lot of a couple of others who were not expelled.
Right. Well, his story was one of them that was not expelled. So this is what you're going to see. Exactly. What they have done is, in trying to wreak retribution on these two young men, they've pulled back the curtain of what's going on a whole host of issues in Tennessee.
Right.
So people begin to look at who you're expelling, who you're not expelling. So this guy who was accused of these high school students was not, and they asked him to, finally the governor got him to not seek reelection, but they didn't expel him. He ran. He said he was going to quit. He ran for reelection after saying he was going to quit and won. And certainly little disruption in the chambers. I could see if he even wanted to censor the young man for a minute. Say, hey, you know, we hear what you're saying, but we do expect to call him. So, all right, you censored him for a minute. What censor means could be a host of other things. You know, they already had stripped him, as I understand it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, they had already stripped him of their committee assignments. They had already stripped him of their committee assignments.
Exactly.
So, I mean, how much more are you going to punish them for just trying to bring democracy to the table? I mean,
not as if they came in with some weird, you know, off
right.
the wall.
Standing up for what's right.
I mean, they were literally just standing up saying, we don't want our kids to die
right.
in school.
Right. No, the issue is so powerful. The issue
oh
is
my
so powerful. It's almost, the issue is so powerful, it's almost hard for them to even justify what they did. But,
exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, Wayne, you talk about sustainability. So, I you know, for the gentleman, And I love what you said, because can they make it during their time away, however long it is? And my question to you, where are the folks like Oprah and Byron and the other one down there? Don't they have the capability, and so many others out there? There's a lot of wealthy African Americans who could step in.
So now this discussion is now rising up. What do we do? I heard Reverend Mark on a talk show this morning talk about how do we sustain a movement, and I said, well, you also got to sustain the people who are leading the movement.
Right.
You really got to sustain the people leading the movement. And I can totally relate with that. Totally.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
I'm here every day holding up, you know, hair radio, power, mm-hmm. power, power. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, mm-hmm. we're not being lifted up. And
that's
the problem.
So, yeah,
but
so,
you go ahead.
The person that takes care, you know, it's like a family. The person who takes care of everybody, who's taking care of them, right? So we have to look at those things. So now that we're having this discussion, believe you me, what you're doing has an impact. What you, Nicole, Marie, and Michael are doing every day
to get the message out about different topics.
So people listen. You'd be surprised who listens, who talks. And so this is the kind of thing, these think tank kind of conversations gets people to take action. I mean, I saw Attorney Crump share some stuff this morning about this situation. So he's a heavy hitter. So Ben has been on our show.
Benjamin Crump has been on this very broadcast of the Hair Radio Show. So we love
him. So you're part of his growth and development. People are looking now at how they maximize their participation. So let's hope that, you know, all the strategic thinkers around this that are helping them will get them to reach out for people to set up some kind of scenario where there are some resources that sustain them and sustain their movement there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, listen, we're doing our public service this morning by getting the public to pay attention, you know, and, you know, find out what legal entity they need to have, some kind of entity that people can donate money to make sure that this fight is sustained. And I'm sure they're smart young men. They're in the middle of a whirlwind, so you do have to have some advice.
Very smart.
yeah. They're going to get around.
I believe that's a large part of the issue.
Yeah. They're going to get around
because they feel threatened by them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, as they should be, Nicole Marie.
They should
be.
Very intelligent young men. Oh, yes.
Representative Gloria Johnson, who is still standing with them, is very important.
Yes, she is.
Very important symbol in the fight. So to show you how sloppy they were, and which her expulsion wasn't sustained, she was not in the well with the bullhorn. But in her expulsion papers, they put that in there.
Wow.
And when they questioned her, she said, well, listen, the issue here is half of the things in the complaint are lies.
Right.
I wasn't down here in the well with them, even though I'm standing with them. And the reason why she's standing with them, she was a teacher when a school got attacked.
Right.
She was a school teacher where they had a gun incident situation. So she's standing on principle. She said in one of her one of her press statements was, you have never tried to put students in a closet and get them out of harm's way in a school building. I have.
Right.
So that's why this gun violence issue is a serious thing for me. And she's a teacher. Yeah, listen,
exactly.
You know, so part of the answers that some of these folks come up with is, and she's not asking to be armed as a teacher. You know, they talking about, let's arm the teachers. Have you heard that argument?
The craziest, most ludicrous. Why don't you just arm the students?
They arm
the little sixth graders and third graders walking around.
So, The woman said, "You know,
bad.
Look, I'm running around trying to save my kids." No, they already proposed. This is part of their answer to this. They said arm the nationwide. Part of their answer is arm the teachers. So now, with all the other things teachers have to worry about. But you know what? It's so ridiculous because teachers have enough stuff to do, and then they take the burden of educating our children every day, and so they got their own fights, you know, underpaid, you know, and all so forth and so on in different places.
Oh, yeah.
And but then now you're going to say, I'm responsible to have a gun among these little children and teach a class at the same time. Yeah.
It's literally ludicrous. Give me policemen's responsibilities.
But that's what they propose. I'm like, wow. So a lot of this debate and some of the things that people are coming out is going to be centered around these two young men's struggle. And the more they try to prosecute these young men, the more the issue gets raised around the whole question of violence.
And you were talking about the news cycle, and you know, because it is a very quick turnover of the news cycle in America, well, the world for that much, but particularly here in America, where all kinds of you have folks with certain agendas putting out a certain discourse, but for some reason this story has a lot of legs, and I think it's going to be out there for a minute. You have these incredibly young, smart, whip smart fellas who are keeping the foot on the gas pedal about this and saying, hey, hold up.
And the Republicans have overreached on this one. They overreached.
Some people tried to compare
what these young men did to what happened on January 6th.
another ludicrous. Crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, where was the violence at?
Exactly.
Not even close.
Where was the damaged property at? I'm trying to look. Exactly. I missed something.
But they're giving Tennessee, they're giving this great state, and I've been to Tennessee. That's where I had my very first children's production, I started my audio empire. We recorded right there on Music Row in Nashville.
Okay.
And so, and I've also been down there to do one of the hair shows down there. So I love the folks of Tennessee. They've been incredible. And this thing really, it really hits me. And I just hope, I'm so grateful that if anything that comes out of this whole thing that we have, some incredible new leaders have emerged, and I'm just ready for them to take it to the big. You know, I don't mind.
Look,
I want
definitely.
Them to go big time. I want them to be on TV every week. They each need their own shows. They each need to be putting out books. They need to be cultivating a whole new movement of folks that are walking in their shoes. And I plan to be one of those members, even though I'm a slight bit older than they are. They may be 27, 28. I'm a tad bit older than that, just a tad. And but they've inspired me as well. And I plan to continue that fight.
So the young legs need the wisdom of the old heads. Trust me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, listen, and I'm raising my hand.
All right. Well,
hey, it's time to bring on... Listen, speaking about some knowledge and some other folks out there who've been at this for a long time, we're bringing to the line the one and only Michael Hopkins, who hosts his own show, Wayne Smith, on Tuesdays, the Vet Talk Radio Show on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern. Michael Hopkins, I'm one of the old heads. I'm raising my hand. But I'm
one of the old heads. Oh, I love that.
I'm inspired. So, Michael Hopkins, what do you say to Wayne Smith? You've been listening.
Wow. Besides always, you know, Wayne, you always bring it. And I have to get my popcorn and something to drink while I'm listening. I mean, you know, you just always bring it, man. You really do. You really do. And I guess in my case, you know, I see things maybe a little bit differently, but it's the same result. You know, my heart goes out to the gun violence. Even though I've been involved in that realm of, you know, with the law enforcement, military, security, you know, carrying weapons 24/7, weapons discipline, all of that good stuff. And when I see individuals that they just don't follow the rules and they take human life, most of us that are in law enforcement, military, security, that's the last thing we want to do. And it really appalls me, just like what you're saying, Wayne, that you have this legislature, and, you know, how do you compare this to January the 6th? What did they break the bullhorn or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, really, seriously, you cannot compare this to that when somebody comes in and then, you know, even though they call them assault rifles and, you know, and all these other things, the bottom line is this. You have people out here with weapons who shouldn't have the weapons. It's real. Doesn't matter what weapon it is. You know, that's my thing is, I don't care what weapon it is that a person has. Weapons are designed for different things, and one of which is to take a human life. But you have people that the way the rules are made up and the when you go to buy a weapon and all that, the way these things are designed, no matter what we've been doing in this country, people slip through the cracks.
Right.
That's the problem. That is the problem. I've bought all kinds of weapons because of the profession I was in. I used to train people with weapons. But we would catch people, just me as a trainer, I would catch people that I definitely knew you do not need a weapon, period.
You don't.
I would nip it in the bud right then and there. I had the right to deny them that type of training. When I hear certain things, when I see certain behaviors, well, the other thing that's happening in the United States is that all these states are not equal, as you know, Wayne, when it comes to purchasing weapons.
No, absolutely.
We just had a scandal up in our area, actually in Maryland, he was a sheriff, and they had a controversy with buying automatic weapons.
Right.
And they were trying to, and you read about that. Yeah, and, you know, it's things like that. And then you get people who have illnesses, and either they cover the illnesses or they don't do – when you do background checks on people, a lot of people don't know this, that when you go to buy a weapon, they do – there's an FBI check, there's state checks, there's local – there's all kinds of checks. But from what I'm seeing, what the problem is, we're not going into – if you don't list it for mental health, if you don't list it for other things, and then you have people doing straw man type things where they're buying weapons for people and they're importing weapons, and then people talk about the ghost gun. It's a mess. It's a mess. And it's going to take a real heckified rules, regulations, et cetera, to clean this up. And it's not going to be an overnight thing. And what
some states are considering eliminating background checks. So you have the constitutional right to bear arms. So they're saying don't check nothing. Let anybody buy a gun, whoever wants one. And we're running from sensible background checks to the extreme of let everybody have a gun now.
Yeah,
so,
and it just, you know, everybody does not need a gun.
I certainly agree. Physically, some people are not even capable of operating a gun. So
right. Definitely.
Yeah, so not even getting into the mental health issues, but there are some people physically they've been harmed to themselves.
And I've seen that one before too. I have seen that mm-hmm. one before. I've had people panic on the range, and you know, they're getting ready to endanger everybody. And I had to take quick action. And it's not a thinking thing. Well, you know, gee, what do I do? No, I had to take quick action with that person because of the danger.
Yeah, and I'm listening. I'm thinking to myself as well. You talk about the gun laws and all of that. I remember that there were such protections that were put in place that were struck down because the lobbyists created this whole atmosphere where the manufacturers could not be sued successfully.
Right.
And I know there was a case not all that long ago, but they really had them kind of in, you know, protected, you know, where they really couldn't be sued, because the first thing that anybody would do would sue the manufacturer of these guns. I mean, that's almost common sense to me.
NRA was really your big strong lobbyist that defended and protected that for years.
Exactly.
And so, thanks to the state of New York, they were able to show. See, it's just interesting because you know, I would say God has a way of leveling the playing field. So the NRA was this all powerful group. Actually had best Republican members of Congress. They're big financial contributors, great lobbyists. So they kept whatever they wanted to happen around the gun laws in their stead. But what happened is they had a fight among themselves over resources. And the state of New York proved that they were misspending money without the appropriate. They're very much like the Donald Trump case. And they dismantled and bankrupted the NRA. So the culture of guns in the country is still as strong. And again, the fight now moves to the state legislative part where there doesn't seem to be enough traction on the Hill to do anything. So now these people on the state level are going to the illogical extreme to now they're talking about in some states, and I think Florida is one of them, talking about eliminating background checks altogether. You have the right to own a gun if you just go buy your gun. And, I mean, guns were so accessible in this country at one time. They were selling them in Walmart. In certain
pretty much. Yeah, I remember that. Well, I mean, and that is quite true.
Now, hold on, Wayne. And Michael, great commentary as well, Nicole Marie. I wanted to just ask you, because you always come and kind of shed light on some of these stories, there's another one bubbling up, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at it or if you heard about it, but there's the Texas governor who's looking to pardon the man who used his vehicle to plow down Black Lives Matter protesters. And so there's the Texas governor who's looking to pardon this fella who doesn't have the power, as I understand it, by himself to just just wantonly pardon a guy. He has to go through this body that has to say that this is okay first. So, you know, I just wanted to see if that was on your radar yet. And
I hadn't heard that one yet. I haven't heard that yet, but it doesn't surprise me.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I haven't heard about
guys,
that one.
Oh, wow. You mean I'm – wow. Well, that –
yeah, I haven't heard
I feel
about that
pretty
one.
Good.
Oh, yeah, that one caught my attention because he was a service member.
Yeah, he was a serviceman, exactly. I saw that,
right.
Michael Hopkins.
Oh, wow. I remember when he did run up and with his car at the Black Lives Matter movement. I remember they prosecuted him for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, let me tell you guys, the governor out there, this Abbott – that's his name, out there in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think, this is huge, and it's so sad. But you guys have to Google the story if you have not, please. We're going to need all eyes to be on this story. And we're going to need, like you said, these little conversations that we're having now and kind of helping to educate and inform each other and holding, making sure that we're all in this together, every little fight that we need to.
That's it.
To keep
that's what it's going
to
take.
But it's interesting.
it's interesting when you mentioned Texas, because in addition to that struggle, I was recently looking at, they're taking over the Houston public schools. And I saw Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. So I tell you, this fight is all over the country about trying to strip predominantly areas of where you have black political power controlling school districts, controlling cities, towns. They're trying to get back control of those institutions, because on a local level, that was the issue of getting people to vote. You know, we had the Texas on the federal level, but then we realized that a lot of stuff is done locally. I mean, you can vote for president, but he don't fix your taxes locally. He doesn't pick up your garbage. He doesn't run the police department. The local people.
Right.
So we began to get black and Latino political power on the local level. So this is a area that they had no say. So now they're looking at those issues and trying to roll back the clock so they can come back to these major areas and take local political power away from black and brown people. So that's another fight.
Exactly.
All of these are very small little things, and they're so localized until we put them into a national framework. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm just glad that we have you on the fight, the first
so
level.
Glad.
Right? Do this, and why it's so important. I think we always come back to reminding everybody, don't just wait to vote for president.
Vote in every election.
Mm-hmm.
So crucial.
Yeah. Right, Nicole Marie, you've got to pay attention to
and be
all
knowledgeable
of the local
about
things.
Who you are voting for. That's so important.
This is true. This is true. That's true, because
you have to know the issue.
Right. Well, you have to know the candidate as well as you can, because what happens, and we've all felt it, like, I voted for some, and then they get into office, and it's almost like a different person. And you're like, oh, my God, if I only knew that.
Right.
Yeah, how about that?
Cast my vote. Right. And so we've got to do due diligence, I think.
Yeah,
so true. That is so true, Carrie.
You got to let people, once they get elected, what you want them to do. So letting them know if you have a stance on a particular issue, let them know. But trust and believe, those letters, those phone calls, those things matter. Because sometimes we kind of leave it up to the elected officials to decide what they want to do. No, you're actually the boss. You say, hey, I like this, you're competing with other people trying to get their attention, but you also want to put on the record, I support this, I don't want you to vote for that, I prefer that you vote for this, because that's how they determine what they're going to do. If they don't hear from you, then the people who make the most noise get to run them.
Right? Exactly.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wayne Smith, I've got to say, you're making the most noise down there in New Jersey. You're doing
yes,
so much
sir.
These days. Yes. Now, you, Wayne, have stepped into the private sector. You have done amazing things. You continue to help small incubator-type businesses and so many others. Can you share with the fans of the show some of the wonderful things that you're working on through all that you're doing? Wayne Smith.
Yeah, and Nicole Marie, you might be helpful with this. So one of the projects I'm working around is with some companies around bringing broadband to not only certain parts of urban America, rural. Oh, yeah. And so I know local elected officials
right
are trying to figure out, and there's a ton of money in the federal government to make sure that people have access to the internet, and particularly in rural areas. And sometimes the local governments don't necessarily have the capacity to access this money. So we're working on some projects around that. So if anybody in Mississippi needs some help with that, just have them give me a call.
Help, Wayne.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'll definitely be reaching out to you. Yes.
Because we are working hard on a lot of those kinds of things that we're working on. And the other thing is, and I'm sure Mike will be glad to hear about this, part of that infrastructure money, in addition to broadband and making sure that all young people have access and older people have access to the internet, is also making sure that our police and fire have broadband capabilities in these rural areas as well.
So important. Yeah. That is so important because we always see, because the lower manpower that we have in the counties, you know, like in the rural areas, you don't have the same manpower like in the larger cities.
So true.
And then if we can't communicate with each other, and if we can't communicate with each other, and you know, we don't have like, you know, real time stuff going on. Turns out to be a mess.
Right.
Well, you have all kinds of natural disasters happening around the country. So we need to make sure that all of our local governments, urban, suburban, and rural, are outfitted with the appropriate equipment. So those are some of the things I'm working on as well. Yep.
That's great. Excellent.
Outstanding. Well, first of all, let me just officially thank Wayne Smith for being our guest today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Michael said you bring it. You bring it to the broadcast.
Every time.
Every time. And we just so appreciate it. So we're going to check back in with you likely in a couple of days on this big story.
Pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. We got to keep reminding everybody, Wayne Smith. We got to. So I just appreciate bringing you here because you educate us all. You inform us all. And I heard from one of the fans of the show on your last appearance how much they appreciated you being on. So I meant to tell you that earlier.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
You're making a difference. Okay. So thank you, sir. And these are folks who are not even in our tri-state area, like in the New York area. These are folks who are all over the country who are responding to your incredible contribution to this broadcast.
Yeah.
So thank you.
All right, great.
Okay.
Have a good day, everybody.
Yes, we'll see you next time.
Sound like a plan.
Is Wayne not the best, the bomb snickety on this? Okay, so
he
now
is
listen.
A bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's awesome, and we just appreciate him. Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, we will be broadcasting all this week, except Wednesday. We're Tuesday, so we're on tomorrow from 6 in the morning to 9 live, and then again on Thursday and Friday. So we are today, we're ending this show in a couple minutes, but then tomorrow we'll be on from 6 in the morning to 9 live again back here for the next broadcast. And then we're off Wednesday, so we're not on Wednesday live. But then Thursday, Friday, we broadcast. So good stuff this week. It was an incredible broadcast. This was the fastest broadcast.
It
was.
It flew by.
It was just so informative with Wayne. You know, he just brings it, Carrie and Nicole Marie. Wayne just brings it every time. You know, like I said, I have my popcorn. And my drink, just, you know, I'm glued in.
Not
really glued in with Wayne.
Always learn so much.
Always.
He definitely
breaks
it down.
Love it when he's on here.
Well, let me just remind you guys, once we go off at 9 o'clock, guess what? You can listen to some classic episodes of the Hair Radio Morning Show simply by going to our website at www.hairradio.com. So go to hairradio.com. Again, it's spelled with one R in the middle. So it's hairradio.com. Put that in your system on the laptop or your phone or what have you. Go there, and there is a little arrow in the top left corner of your screen. And you hit that little arrow, and you will hear the radio playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go listen several times all throughout the day. We've got some great classic shows that are playing right there. I'm going to see if we can put this show over there a little later today as well. So it'll play back over there at the radio station, so probably about noon or so. So take a listen then. But, yeah, really good stuff, guys. I have enjoyed this Monday. So we'll see you back here.
Wonderful.
Great Monday episode. So we'll see you back here.
Was.
I'm going to share this story, share this whole radio show out on our Facebook right now. So stand by for that. You can replay it there as well. All right, Nicole Marie, great job. Michael Hopkins, great job. Our special guest, Wayne Smith, we thank him. And to all the fans of the show, we just appreciate you. We love you. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
An awesome day. So I'm so excited to see you back here.
Awesome Monday.
Awesome Monday. You got it. All right, folks. Here's the outro. All right, take
it's
it away,
time again
Ophelia.
To bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentation. It's a great honor to get your day started in the most informative and entertaining way possible, and we at Hair Radio take that task very seriously. I'm Ophelia, one of the newest additions to the lineup at the Hair Radio Morning Show.